Uyraysa.
Today's Amud is Sukkah Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We're holding on Chaf Amud Beis by the bottom of the Amud, right by the beginning of the Gemara. So we mentioned in the Mishnah that Hayashin Tachas Hamita Basukkah is Loyatsu Yidei Chayvasai, that if a person sleeps inside of the Sukkah, but he sleeps underneath a bed, so the bed is separating between him and the Schach, so the halacha is that he's not Yaitse, the mitzvah of living in the Sukkah, of sleeping in the Sukkah. Frak the Gemara of Haleka Asara. Why is the bed mafsik, but it's not 10 tefachim tall? Meaning, even though we generally find that an oil is even when it's just one tefach, but over here, when he's in the sukkah already, for it to be considered that it's a separate oil to be mafsik between him and the sukkah, the Rishonim explained that it has to be 10 tefachim tall. So if so, why is this bed mafsik if it doesn't say anything about the bed being 10 tefachim tall? Says the Gemara, Tirgama Shmuel b'mita asara. So Shmuel says we must say that the Mishnah is discussing a case that the bed is 10 tefachim tall, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it lehedyo. That's obviously what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a person who slept underneath a bed that's 10 tefachim tall. Shaila, if it's 10 tefachim from the ground to the bottom of the bed, 10 tefachim to the top of the bed, but however you measure it, it's 10 tefachim, and therefore he's not yaitzei the mitzvah. So now says the Gemara, and we'll get back to the Mishnah, but says the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Eilis, Tan Hasam, we learned in the third parak of Eilis, the Mishnah says in Parak Gimel Mishnah Zayin, that Echad Chor Shechareruhu Mayim, that let's say you have a hole that was made by water, you have, let's say, a mound of rocks inside the ocean, and so the water going against the rocks makes a crevice within the wall of the pile of rocks, and so now it's an oil, it's a tefach, it's at least a tefach tall, that makes it into an oil, and so the water created this oil, a shratzim, or you have different shratzim that eat and bite away at a surface, and it also it makes a crevice. Or if let's say you have the salt, the natural salt of the water of the ground that eats away at a surface and also creates a crevice, that's a tefach. You have a person who throws down a pile of stones, and when you put it down, it created by accident, so to speak, it created a crevice, that's a tefach. Same type of case, but with a pile of planks, and so it created a tefach. An oil of a tefach. So the halacha is, in all these cases, the Tanakhama says, is that it's mahil ala tuma. In all these cases, being that there's a crevice that was created, even though it wasn't created intentionally, it wasn't some of them created even by a person, the halacha is that halachically that's still considered an oil, and if there's a mace underneath that oil, so anything that's inside that oil will become tameh. It's mahil ala tuma, meaning it creates an oil a mace. However, Rabbi Yehuda Imer, Rabbi Yehuda's chaylik, and Rabbi Yehuda says that kol oil she'enu asoy bidei adam, any oil that's not made by a person, which means not just that it's made by a person, it means it's made intentionally by a person. Any oil that's not made by a person and with intent, so the halacha is enu oil, it's not considered an oil in Hilchos Tumma v'tayro, it's not considered an oil. And therefore, all these cases, it's not considered an oil, either because it wasn't made by a person bechlal, or even the ones that were, it wasn't made intentionally to be an oil. So says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason, or really, what's the makar for Rabbi Yehuda that he holds, that an oil that's not made by a person is not considered an oil? So says the Gemara, Yalef oil, oil mi mishkan, he learns it out from the mishkan, ksif acha, it says over here with regards to Tuma, it says, zayis ha-tayra adam ki amas ba'oyo. It says, oil by Tuma v'tayra. Uksif ha-sam, and it says over there, by the siyas ha-mishkan, vayif reis asa oil al ha-mishkan, it says they spread over the oil on the mishkan, ma'la halim b'day adam, just like the mishkan was made by man, afkan b'day adam, so to Tuma v'tayra, an oil with regards to the halachas of Tuma is only an oil if it's made by a person. V'rabbanan, the Tanakhama, who says that all these cases that we mentioned are considered an oil, even though they weren't made by a person, that's because oil riba, being that it says the word oil many times by the parasha of Tumah, so they say that oil is coming to be marba, that any oil, another oil, any type of oil is considered an oil, even if it's an oil that's not made by a person, even if it's not made with intent, it's still considered an oil. Like we saw in the Mishnah, that's the sheet of the Tanakhama, that all these cases are considered an oil. So this so far has nothing to do with our parak, with our Mishnah. Stam halacha and the halacha is abtumma v'tayra, a machlaikas Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Tanakhama, an oil is considered an oil, even if it's not made by a person, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, an oil is only considered an oil if it's made with intent by a person. Now, again, still, before we get back to our Mishnah, we're not going to get back to our Mishnah until I'm a base. So it says the Gemara now, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda kol oil sheinu asei b'dei adam eino oil. Is that really true? That Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oil that's not made by a person is not considered an oil? Uraminhu, I'll bring you a brisa which shows that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oil could be an oil even if it's not made by a person. Even an oil that's not man-made could be considered an oil. What's the brisa? The brisa says like this. And now the background of this brisa is the sugya of Paraduma, which we've learned about many in many instances in Meseches Yuma, that we had about the Paraduma, that being that they were metameh the kohen who was serif as a para, the halacha is that we're metameh the kohen who was in charge of burning the Paraduma, we dafka are metameh him, so and we have him go to the mikvah and we turn him into a tful yoyim, so we still have some sort of quasi tuma state until Harav Shemesh, until Shkia, and we dafka do this l'haytzi miliban shel tzedukim, because the tzedukim held that a tful yoyim is possible for Paraduma. They had their certain way of learning the pshutei shel mikra, that a tful yoyim is possible for the Paraduma, and we hold that a tful yoyim is kosher for the Paraduma. So to show, not like the tzedukim, they were purposely metameh the kohen who was in charge of burning the paraduma, to make him, and then we had him go to the mikvah, to make him into a tful yoyim, to show not like the tzedukim. However, being that we did that, being that we made the kohen who was in charge of burning the paraduma tameh, so this could create a situation of a certain laxity, a certain lightheadedness towards the whole concept of paraduma, which was a very chomer event. This is how we get rid of Tumas Meis, it's through the Paraduma. We take the Paraduma, we burn it, we take the ashes, we mix it with water, we sprinkle it on the person that's Tameh, or the object that's Tameh, and it was a very chomer process. So we don't want it to be now that because we're being Metamehim, that now he's going to think very lightly about the whole process. So because of that, being that we were Metamehim, to show Nalik the Tzedukim, being that we had to do that, Chazal created a lot of chumras when it comes to Paraduma. A lot of things that we do so that people shouldn't be mezalzel in Paraduma. Being that we have to be metamim to show nalik to tzedukim, which could have a bad side effect, so because of that we created a lot of chumras. So now the Braisa says that amongst these chumras is that the chatzeiros hayu benuyes b'Yerushalayim al gabi asela. Is that part of the process is that the people who were in charge of drawing the water for the Paraduma, they had to draw it from a certain Mayan, as we'll speak about soon. So we made it that the Chazal set up the situation that they were for sure Tahar people, that these people in charge of drawing the water were the most Tahar people in the world. How did they do that? Chatzeres hayibanuyas b'Yerushalayim al gabi asela. They built chatzeres. They built courtyards in Yerushalayim on top of racks. Now these weren't just any racks. Rashi says that these were racks that we assume were there from Sheishas Yimei Abreishas. The significance of that is that being that these racks were always there, we could very much assume that there is no mace that's underneath these racks. The Rash says that we could assume with certainty that there's no mace that's underneath these racks, because these racks have been there since Sheishas Yimei Abreishas. So now, probably we could have just put now a person on top of these rocks and assumed that they was tar. But Chazal didn't stop there. They built chatzeros on top of these rocks, v'tachteim chalal. And not only did they put them on top of the rocks, but they made it that there was a space of a tefach separating the chatzer from the racks, which means that they put the chatzer on like a stand that went a tefach above the racks. The significance of that is that now it's an oil. Now that it's an oil, so now even if there is tumah that's underneath these racks, somehow a maize got buried underneath these racks, the halacha would be that the tumah would stop right underneath the chatzer and it wouldn't go through the bottom. If there wouldn't be a tefach, so then the tumah would go shoot up straight through the chatzer. Then potentially, if you have the person in that chatzer directly over the maize, he would be nitma from the maize. They made it dafka that there was a tefach of space in between the chatzer and the racks, so that even on the crazy, far-fetched chashash chance that maybe there was a mace buried underneath one of these racks, even still the tumah wouldn't go through to the chatzer. So they built these chatzeres on top of the racks. Not only did they do that, but they made it that there was a space, a chalal of a tefach, mepnei kevrat tohim, because of the far-fetched concern that maybe there's a mace buried underneath these racks. And then umevian nashim ubaris, they would bring pregnant ladies, the yoldeisham, and they would have the ladies give birth in these chatzeres, so that the child that was born never stepped foot anywhere else besides this chatzer. Umegadleis b'neiim sham lapara, and they would raise their children over there letzayrich lapara aduma. They would bring in teachers, they would teach them Torah, they would teach them everything that they needed to know. And everything happened on top in this chatzer, so there was no possible chance that the child that was there was tamei. Now, when it became time to get the water for the paraduma, umevian shvarim, they would bring axes, v'algabei and delosis, and they would put doors on top of the axes, v'tinoikos yoshvin algabein, and then the child would sit on top of these doors on top of the ox. This way, as he's traveling through to get to the mayan, to get to the water, so there's no chance that he's going to become tameh from a possible kever that's on the way, because now he's on top of the door is now an oil over the ground, so now that would be mafsik, that now the tumah wouldn't go up above the doors, and that the child that's on top of the door would not become tameh from the possible mace that's maybe buried on the way. The koyset shel aven bideyim, and they would take stone cups. The significance of that is that stone is not mekabel tumah. So the children would take stone cups in their hands as they would go to the mayan. Higiyu l'shiluach, once they got to the shiluach, which was the mayan, where they would take the water for the paraduma. So yardu l'seich hamayim umilum, so they would go into the water and they would fill up their cups. V'alu, and then they would go up. V'yashru lahem, and they would sit back down on top of the dalsis. Rabbi Yossi says that no, mimkoymoy haya mishalshel umamale mimnei keveratohayim, that the children didn't even get off the doors, they would sit exactly where they were on top of these doors, and they would have the cups attached to a rope, and they would have some sort of pulley system where they would dump the cup into the water and draw the water like that with this pulley system. The Tanakhama held that you can't draw the water in such a way for Paraduma, a technical thing, so therefore they had to actually get off into the water. But Rabbi Yossi says he held that they could use this pulley system, so better to use the pulley system also, but make kever at the home because of the concern that maybe there's a mace buried in the water by that exact spot, so to prevent any possible chashash, so they would use this pulley system to get the water. V'tani, now we learned in a braiso that Rabbi Yehuda said that loy hayu mevi'in delosis, they didn't bring doors on top of the shvarim, ela shvarim, they would just use the shvarim themselves, because an axe has a very wide stomach, that itself could act as the oil to be mafsik between any possible kever that's on the road and the child. Now, frak the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda says that the shar itself, the stomach of the shar, could be the oil to separate any tumah from going up and affecting the child. Now, wait a minute, frak the Gemara, so now that's the end of the braisa. Frak the Gemara now, v'hashvarim da'ayol sheinu asu b'de'adamu. The stomach of the shar is not made by a person. It's an oil that's created naturally. It's not created by a person. And still, v'katani, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, l'hayim mevi'in d'lasis el shvarim, that the shvarim themselves acted as the oil to separate any tumah from possibly being metameh, the kohanim that were on top of the shore. So, frak the Gemara, how could you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda Shita, like we see from the Mishnah in Ayolos, is that an oil that's not made by a person, is not considered an oil? Here we see that an oil that's not made by a person, and still Rabbi Yehuda considers it an oil. So says the Gemara, Ki Asa Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Lazar, he said in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that Maida Rabbi Yehuda Kimlai Egreif, that Rabbi Yehuda's Maida, that even though he holds that something's a tefach, so it's only considered an oil if it's made by a person, if it's Kimlai Egreif, a fist wide, if it's a fistful, if it's that big, if it's that large the oil, so which is a slightly larger than the tefach, so then even Rabbi Yehuda's maskim, that it's considered an oil even if it's not made by a person. When is it that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oil has to be made by a person? That's if you use a tefach oil. But if you use a mlai egreif, which is a larger shear, Rashi tells us the makar for the shear, but if you use this larger shear, so then even Rabbi Yehuda's maskim, that even if it's not made bidei adam, it's still considered an oil. So now the stomach of the shar is mlai egreif plus, and therefore it's considered an oil even though it's not made by a person. It says the Gemara Tanin Amihachi that Umayda Rabbi Yehuda Bashkif and Benikike Aslaim, that Rabbi Yehuda is Maida by these things, meaning if it's a Kamloi Megreif, that if it's a larger than a Tefach, so then even Rabbi Yehuda is Maida that these crevices that are made naturally, either Shakifin, the rock falls and creates an oil, or Nikike Aslaim, that it's natural crevices that are formed in the rocks. So in either of these cases, if it's the Kamloi Egroif, so then even Rabbi Yehuda's Maida that even though they were made naturally, it wasn't made by a person, so still that's considered an oil. So again, the question we have, we mentioned the Mishnah in Oilos that says that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that an oil is only considered an oil if it's made by a person. Then we have the Braisa by Paraduma, where Rabbi Yehuda seems to consider something an oil even though it's not made by a person. So the Teretz of the Gemara is that it depends. There's a Tefach oil, and then there's a Moloi Egroif oil. A Tefach oil, that's where we have the Mishnah in Oilos that Rabbi Yehuda holds. It's only considered an oil if it's made by a person. And then we have the Braisa of Paraduma, that's talking about the Mloy Egroif oil. There, so then even if it's not made by a person, Rabbi Yehuda's hold is considered an oil. Frak the Gemara now. So the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa is that Rabbi Yehuda says that Lo Yehayu Mevi'in Delasois Elish Shvarim, that they didn't use doors, they used Shvarim. The Gemara assumes that when Rabbi Yehuda says that they didn't use doors, it's because Rabbi Yehuda held that they couldn't use doors. So now Frak the Gemara, Vahare Delas Diyesh. If you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda's Maida that by something which is Kamloi Egroif, so then it doesn't need to be man-made, so then it doesn't have to be a significant oil, so then Deles, even though it's a weird oil, it's not a normal oil, but it's Kamei Egroifin. V'katani Rabbi Yehuda Aymer lo hayu mevi'in delasa yisal shvarim. And Rabbi Yehuda says that they didn't use doors rather than shvarim. It's mashma that Rabbi Yehuda held that they couldn't use the delasa. The question is why not? If you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that once an oil is a kamloi egreif, so then everything's fine. So then, what was wrong with these doors? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye loy hutzrichu lahavi delasais. Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean to say that they couldn't use the delasais, and therefore they used the shvarim. Avada the delasais would be good also. Rabbi Yehuda just meant to say that they didn't need to use the delasais. There's no need to get something new to get a new contraction, a whole new contraction to take the doors and put them on top of the shore. You could just use the shore itself. That was the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, that there was no need for the doors, not that you couldn't use the doors. However, Rava says that no, we should stick with our original assumption, that Rabbi Yehuda meant to say that you can't use the doors. Ah, it's many Mloya Greifin, so why can't you use the doors as the oil? Says the Gemara, Rav Amar lo hayu mevi'in delasos kleiker, that Rabbi Yehuda meant to say, like we thought, you couldn't use the doors. Why not? Because if you use the doors, there's a concern that the child's going to see, wow, look how much space I have. He's going to become a little bit haughty. He's going to be a little, he's going to get ahead of himself. And maybe he's going to take away his head or one of his limbs over the doors because he's going to be so, I guess, chilled about it because he sees he has so much space. And there, Vietame is going to become Tame. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was Dafka Makbin not to use doors, to dafka use the back of the shore and not to use the doors, so you shouldn't have this concern of the child becoming tame. Bekevrat Tohoim, continuing on Talmud Beis, that he shouldn't become tame with possible kevrat Tohoim while he's walking to the Shiluach, that maybe there's a kever somewhere on the road, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda held dafka to use the shore and not to use doors. So it's like we thought that when Rabbi Yehuda says Lohayim Avian Delosais, he meant dafka, that they shouldn't use the Delosais, but this was the reason, not because it's not considered an oil. It was a side concern that maybe the child would stick his head or one of his evarim over the side. Tani Kavasi de Rava. We have a Braisa which supports Rava, that was the intentions of Rabbi Yehuda when he says Lehi Mevi'ed Losleis. The Braisa says like this, that Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Luhayim Mevi'ed Losleis Kolikar, that no, they didn't use Losleis, Bibnesha Daitle Shaltino Gaso Love, Shemayotzi Roshay Echel Me'evar Avitame. Mamish, exactly word for word of what Rava said, Bekevrat Tohim. Because maybe the child will stick with his head or one of his Evarim over the sides, and it'll become Tame with Kevrat Tohim. Elo, rather, said Rabbi Yehuda, Mevi'en Shvarim Hamitzriim. They would bring these Egyptian Shvarim, Shekreisei and Rechavis, which had extra wide stomachs, Vatinoikos Yoshvin al Gabayan, and the children would sit on top of them, Vekoise Shalav Bidehen. They would have these stone cups, Hegil Shiluach. Once they would get to the Shiluach, so Yardu Amilum, Va'aldu Vyashvilan al Gabayan. So they would go and fill up their cups, and then they would go back and sit back onto the shore. So the point is that we have a Braisa here, exactly like Rava explained the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. We'll stop here, but we'll just mention an interesting halacha that comes from our sugya. The Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Mem Gimel in Sifka and Beis, he brings from the Rekeach. He brings from the Rekeach that even though the halacha is that a zar, someone who's not a kayin, is not allowed to be metame a kayin. A kayin we know is not allowed to become tame meis. So there's a iser for a zar to be metame a kayin. Says the Magen Avraham b'shem the Rekeach, Eish Eskayin, even though women are allowed to become Tamei Meis, even if she's a Kayhanes, she's an Eish Eskayin, still the halach is she's allowed to go into a Beis HaKvara, she's allowed to become Tamei, says the Rekeach, even if she's expecting, so she has a baby in her stomach, she's still allowed to go into the Beis HaKvaras. Ah, maybe the baby is a boy, maybe she's expecting a boy, and a boy is not allowed to become Tamei Meis, so why is the Isha, Eish Eskayin Uberes, why is the wife of the Kayin, who's expecting, allowed to go into the Beis HaKvaras, says the Magen Avraham b'shem the Rekeach, because there's a Svek Sveka. The Svek Sveka is like this. Maybe it's a Zachar, maybe it's a Nekeva. If it's a Zachar, she can't go into the Beis HaKvaras. But maybe it's a Nekeva, so she could go into the Beis HaKvaras. So on the side that it's a Nekeva, she could go in. What are you going to tell me? That she can't go in because maybe it's a Zachar. Says the Rekeach, even if it's a Zachar, even if it's a boy, maybe it's a boy that's not going to live. Maybe it's a Nefel. And the Nefel has no, it's not considered a living person, Lenin becoming Tame, and therefore she's vital to go into the Beis HaKvaros. So therefore she has a Svek Sveka, or some say maybe a Raif, that she could go into the Beis HaKvaros. Maybe it's a Nekeva. Even on the Tzadet, it's a Zachar, maybe the child's never going to actually make it alive, and therefore she has a Svek Sveka to be able to go into the Beis HaKvaros. That's the Rekeach. Says the Magen Avraham on the Rekeach, why are you coming to me with Svek Sveka, that maybe Zachar, maybe Nekeva? Says the Magen Avraham, even if you know for sure that it's a boy, she should still be able to go into the Beis HaKvaros. Why? Because even if it's a boy, the halacha is, he bases on the Mishnah in Eilois, in Perek Vav Mishnah, is that being that the child is balua, is completely consumed inside the mother's stomach, so the halacha is that something which is balua is not mekabel toma. And therefore, even if it's Vadei Zachar, who cares? Let her go into the Beis HaKvaros. Who cares? Even if it's a Zachar, it's a Tumah Balua, and it's Tyra Balua, so therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. The child won't be Mekabel Tumah, because it's inside the mother's stomach. That's what the Magen Avraham asks on the Rekeach. Says the Nesiv Chaim, who I believe is the Karben Nesano, in his Agos over there on the Shulchan Aruch, that L'chaira, our Gemara is Mavur like the Magen Avraham. Our Gemara is clear that the child inside a mother's stomach is not Mekabel Tumah. Where do you see that from our Gemara? Because our Gemara says that what happened with the Parah Aduma, how did they make sure everything happened with Tahara? What they would do is they would bring these ladies who were expecting, and they would have them give birth in the Chatzar. Frek the Nesiv Chaim, what does it help that she gives birth in the Chatzar if the whole time she was expecting, she was walking around in all different places? If she was, maybe she even went into a Beis HaKvaros, maybe she went into a hospital. If she was walking around the whole time that she was expecting, what do you gain after the fact by having her give birth in the Chatzar? The whole time she was walking around while she was expecting, the child could have been Mekabel Tumah. It could have been walked, she could have walked over a kever to home. So if so, Frek the Nesiv Chaim, what does she gain by giving birth in the Chatzar? Says in the Nesiv Chaim, you see a raya from here to the Magen Avraham, that while she's expecting, the child's not Mekabel Tumah, it's Tyra Balua. It's not Mekabel Tumah while she's expecting. The only concern is once she gives birth. So therefore, they had the Mu'uberes give birth in the Chatzar. And in this way, we knew that the child, when he was born, he was for sure Tahar. While she was expecting, he wasn't Mekabel Tumah, and now he was born inside of this Chatzar. That's the Nesiv Chaim's raya to the Magen Avraham from our Gemara. Others, the Maisa say to defend the Rekeach, that maybe there's no raya from our Gemara. It could be Enachanami. It could be while the mother was expecting, so the child is Mekabel Tumah. For whatever reason, it's not considered Tyra Balua. And the child is Mekabel Tumah. Ah, so what do we gain now by having the mother give birth in the Chatzar? It could be that once the child's born, so now he's like a Birya Chadasha. He's like a new creation, and therefore anything that happened to him before is offset. So it could be while he's in the mother's stomach, he is Mekabel Tumah. And for that reason, the Rekeach said that the only heter for the Mu'uberes to go into the Beis HaKvaros is because she has a Svek Sveka. It's because maybe it's a Nekeva, even if it's a Zachar, maybe it's a Nefel. It's only because of the Svek Sveka. But Be'etzim, if it's a Zachar, it's Mekabel Tumah. Ah, so what do we gain by having the child born in the chatzer by the Parah Aduma, because now he's going to be a Beri Chadasha. So it could be in a Chanami, he was Mekabel Tuma, but now he'll be a Beri Chadasha, and therefore he'll for sure be, anything that happened to him beforehand will be offset, and now we'll know we're dealing with a Kayin who's completely Tar. So it could be that, it could be in a Chanami, though, a child in his mother's stomach is Mekabel Tuma. Al-Kopanim, it comes out two reasons for the Heter, for an Eishas Kayin who's expecting to go into a Beis HaKvaros, or the modern day more practical Shaila would be going into a hospital where there's very often a Cheshash of Ayil HaMeis. And that is, the Rekeach learns that it's a Svek Sveika for the Mu'ubaris. Maybe it's a Zachar, maybe it's a Nekeva. Even if it's a Zachar, maybe it's a Nefel. So according to the Rekeach, it's because of a Svek Sveika. The Magen Avraham asks that maybe we have a different reason, that maybe even if it's Vaday a Zachar, anyways, the child is not Mekabel Tumah because it's Tyra Balua. A potential nafkamina would be a lady who did an ultrasound. If a lady did an ultrasound and she found out that she's vade having a zachar, she's expecting a boy. According to the Rekeach, it could be that now we lost the Svek Sveika, because now you don't have a suffix if it's a zachar or a nekeva. Unless you say maybe that we don't rely on the ultrasound, but minestamik, it would seem that we don't have the Svek Sveika anymore. For sure, if it's really working, we didn't arrive, so now we don't have a rive anymore. Because now through the ultrasound, we found out that now it's a zachar. Lamaisa, I saw the Nishmas Avram in Yerdea and Simon Shinai and Aleph, Sif Aleph. He brings from Rav Eliashiv that not only is this true, that we're going to go like the Rekeach, and a lady who did an ultrasound would no longer, or should no longer, really, when she goes to give birth, she shouldn't go into just any hospital. She should dafka try to go to a hospital where they're careful about the Taira of Kehanim. Said Rav Eliashiv, the Nishmas Avram brings from Rav Eliashiv that being that it's Efshe Levrure, so there's perhaps even a Chiyev for a Eishas Kayin who's expecting to go do an ultrasound and to dafka find out the gender of the baby, to find out if it's a boy or a girl, and then if it's a boy, to be careful about this. As much as she's not sure what it is, so she could go into a hospital, no problem. She has the Svek Sveika. But Tzedra V'liashiv, being that's Efshe Levrure, so perhaps it could be she has even a chiyev to check what she's having, so that now she knows whether or not she could go into the hospital. So that's an interesting sugya, interesting nida in halacha, which comes from Eretz Gemara. Oh, your eyes are...